For our next speaker, we have Richard Fisher, who is the founding partner of Fisher & Fisher. He is a 1978 graduate of Cornell University, a 1982 graduate of the University of Texas School of Law, and he is engaged in the practice of law in Nacogdoches, Texas for the past 40 years. He is a man of much wisdom, especially when it comes to immigration law, one of my good friends and mentors for many years when it comes to this practice, and he's going to talk to us about a very unique form that is still around, 237A1H. So I will... Oh, and cancellation.
Yeah.
Oh, all forms of relief. So I'll leave it to you.
Thank you, Michelle. Can you all hear me? I first came to this conference in 1982. That kind of shows something about my age. And I look out into the audience and I recognize two or three people who have gray hair like me and one who probably dyes it. All the rest of you are new to me, which is a great thing because, welcome to this business. It's a lot of fun. You can help people doing it. And good for coming to the conference because it means you're willing to spend money to learn about what you're supposed to know. I think I'll take less than 45 minutes so I have some time for questions, but I might not. I can never guess how long it's going to be. I'm going to speak first and primarily about the waiver that we call the 237A1H waiver. It's a waiver of deportability, typically for people who had some fraud in their at the time of entry. How many of y'all, raise your hands, have done a 237A1H waiver? Oh, good. Well, some. Mostly the war horses. My clients are amazing people. They pull all kinds of stuff and get in all sorts of trouble. A surprising number of them immigrated with some sort of misrepresentation or fraud or something in their history, but managed to actually get through the system and get their permanent residence. What I'm talking about is people who, let's say they did a convenient phony labor cert by a friendly employer for whom they never worked. Lots of people immigrated through the second preference and, in fact, were married and couldn't do it. I mean, children and adult sons and daughters of permanent residents who weren't eligible to immigrate through the second preference because they were married. They did it anyway. The hidden divorce. Somebody was married and divorced and never mentions that at the time they get their residence. Or I've even had a real good one that turned out that the family member who petitioned and got the fellow legal was not, in fact, born in the United States. It was a two birth certificate case, and he was born in Mexico and got caught. So in comes Section 237A1H, and I don't know what else to call it. You can call it a deportation fraud waiver, but there's no short term of it like 212C or those other things. So I'm going to call it 237A1H. Just say it fast. 237A1H cures deportability for fraud under 212, what is it, 212A6CI. These are speaking of section numbers, if you don't have this, you really need to get the Act published by the American Immigration Lawyers Association. I'm not a shill for them, but this is valuable. You should do what Peter's father. As I said, 237A1H cures fraud at entry or adjustment. It works for both, even though the statute doesn't say that. You can raise it only in proceedings. That means you can't figure out that your client has some bad fraud in his background, now he wants to naturalize, so you do a 237A1H. You can only do it if your client's in removal proceedings. Good luck on getting in proceedings these days. Somebody mentioned earlier that the Immigration Service is prioritizing criminals and other bad folks who really need to be expelled from this country, they think. And so they just aren't going after all sorts of other people.